Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Westprint Sports Review here on Planet FM. The show is proudly sponsored here by Westprint. They're at 9 Pereri Street in New Lynn. Their number is 09-827-8531, or you can email them on westprint.co.nz. And a beautiful, it's been beautiful weather in Auckland. Summer is definitely here, and of course, we start the show, as we always do, with my good mate, former All Black, part of the 1987 World Cup winning side, AJ Weeson. AJ, good afternoon to you, young man. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks, Biggie. Good to hear your dulcet tones, my friend.
Geez, I'm happy that somebody's happy to hear that, but we might as well rip into it. The All Blacks 47, Italy 9. Now, I'm going to say the highlight for me was the final whistle, because it was a shocking watch. You know, with the exception of Fiddly Christie, Dane Coles and Hosking Satutu, it really, Italy played spoiling tactics, which we have come to expect from Italy over the years. But, oh, believe me, it definitely wasn't something that match would not have engrossed you into watching it. AJ, what was your thoughts?
That's why I did the highlights, Biggie. Look, I knew two results. One, the All Blacks were going to win and win convincingly, or they were going to battle a wee bit, and it was the latter. So, look, first of all, hats off to Italy. They went into a game plan where they just went to disrupt the All Blacks' pattern, fringing possibly on offsides here and there, but hey, you play the whistle. And I thought they did that particularly well. Probably a bit of Kieran Crowley, our New Zealander coaching the team, picked up on some aspects where he could probably try and exploit. And I just think the All Blacks, and honestly, Piggy, were there mentally. And I think when they came on in the first, 20 minutes, they hadn't scored, you knew this was just going to be a real drag. And It panned out that way, and I just don't think whatever pattern they had or plan, they just didn't execute.
Yeah, of course, next week they've got Ireland, and Ireland looks really convincing over Japan, 60 points to 5. So, you know, looking at what Ian Foster has to pick, I can't see any changes to the 15 that went on against Wales. Maybe to the bench, Finlay Christie, I think, has definitely, I think, played himself into the 23 coming off the bench. But, you know, I can't, and maybe Dane Coles is adding a bit more pressure on Cody Taylor, but I just believe that Foster will take in that side, and it will be Barrett at first 5-8 ahead of Mwanga. I think Bowden Barrett definitely has taken his chances.
Oh, look, you've summed it up. You know you're ugly, mate. look, I think the boy Christie had plenty of energy, and he's a tough little character. So I've been quite impressed with him. Yeah, and I think it was not a bad one from Hoskins or Tutu. I think he's been a bit under the radar, but certainly will only be on the bench. And I think Dan Cole's on the bench coming on. Good to see him, you know, contributing, not only his presence on the field, but experience. And I think you've summed it up. Put that team back on against Ireland. And Ireland, as you know, playing at home, they go an extra arm and a leg, and they've had those recent wins over the All Blacks. So, yeah, they'll be looking forward to this match just as much as we are.
Oh yeah, I think it's going to be a cracker. Talking about cracking, mate, the MPC, the penultimate round during the week, by a plenty 22, Northland 14, but the Friday game, what a cracking game it was. Waikato 27, Otago 25. That was a brilliant game, AJ. It really had me on the edge of my seat, mate.
Well, it was tough because the weather wasn't the best, and it could have gone either way. But it was a good result and good for Waikato. They'd secured a home semi-final. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, that was looking doubtful. But they put their heads down. And look, they've been on the road, Piggy. They've had to play at Tauranga and then at Rotorua. So good on them. They've buckled down, got the results, and now they can host a semi.
And, of course, Tasman were very convincing, 34 points to 22 winners over Wellington. Canterbury, Bay of Plenty, now this was a really good game, and a seesawing game, but Canterbury, 40 points to 28 over Bay of Plenty, a really good display by the old red and black. And, of course, at that time, they know where to win. Hawke's Bay won the friendly 25-16 over Northland, but, you know, Taranaki had a good win over Southland. Great to see Scotty Barrett back.
Yeah, well, it was quite funny, you know, with the All Blacks drawing. And then you see there pops up there playing for his junior, which is great. Great for the province also. But he certainly brought a bit of energy and experience there with his locking partner. I think it's Williams. And, they deserve their win. They were under the pump a wee bit to start, so hats off to Southland. They've made the top four, so congratulations to them. But this Potros, again, just very steady there at the first five with Crowley at halfback giving him good service. And you want your back three, Perifita and Aholo and Ratamataka Fakuri. I mean, yeah, just too much pace, too strong, and they look very dominant for that final.
They certainly did. And of course, we go to semi-finals this weekend, and of course, the Naki have Southland in the semi-finals, Manawatu versus Otago. And, you know, I'm going to pick it right now. I'm picking a Naki Manawatu final. But, you know, this premiership semis, there's some couple of real tough games now. Hawke's Bay will go in as ultimately the big favourites against Tasman, and that could, you know, you wouldn't back against the Bay, but you know, Tasman are a good side and they're coming into a bit of form. Waikato and Canterbury, now this is an interesting game, and I've got to tell you this, not because I'm a former Cantabrian, AJ, but if Canterbury are in knockout football, you tend not to back against them. What's some of your thoughts heading into this weekend of semi-finals?
Oh, no, look, I think playing as they have done, Waikato, I think they're going with some confidence. Canterbury on the road, just got in there in their last match of the season. Certainly not the force they have been in previous seasons. I'll be backing Waikato. I think I just like the way they've knuckled down, shown some grit, and I just think it's an opportunity for them to go out in the season on a high. Canterbury, bit too inconsistent for me. Are they coming right at the right time? Well, I guess we're going to find out on Saturday, Peggy.
Yeah, well, certainly, and of course, you probably would pick the Bay over Tasman, but yep. I still think that's going to be a very interesting match.
Oh, they'll have to AJ. Work for it. Don't worry, Tasman, champions the last 2 years. Again, another team that probably just got in there with that win over Wellington, give them some confidence, but Bay at home. Well, you know, they rested, I think, all their players bar one in the start against Otago. So, look, they're firing. I would be a major surprise if they drop the ball at this stage of the season. There's a huge carrot for them. Ran for these shield holders, and to be the Premier Championship, ah, man, what a season.
And to send that Mark Osmus out a winner before he joins the Western Force for Super Rugby Pacific. Now, just one thing, getting to Super Rugby, a couple of appointments were made to the Blues. Craig McGrath, who's been part of the Auckland NPC set-up, also was part of the Melbourne Rebels set-up, and, of course, former Blues assistant coach Joe Smith is coming back to New Zealand as a support coach for Leon McDonald. What's your thoughts on some of these appointments?
Well, I know the McGrath from his playing days, but he's certainly been doing his due diligence and coaching around the traps, cutting his teeth. So, and he obviously has had a relationship with Joel Smith. And the same with McDonald with Joe. So, look, the Blues, they're doing well in not only recruiting off the field, but they're certainly getting someone in the quality of Joe Schmidt into the coaching fraternity. Wow. What a big plus. So you should certainly see the benefits of that. He is held in high esteem all around the world. And I think he's going to add some tremendous value to the team. Not only just in his ability in the technical side of his coaching, but just in his philosophy and his character. I think he sets hugely high standards and can only be a plus for the Blues.
It certainly is, and one thing about Joe Smith, I've met Joe a few times when he was in New Zealand, have to say a fantastic communicator is Joe Smith, and he's really got great man management, and I think, you know, it sort of reminds me of when the 2000 pre-season, when Peter Sloan was a coach, but they brought in Graham Henry to give him that support, and of course that's when the Blues won this what was then known as, I think it was the Super 14 at that time, yes, in 2003. So, you know, I think it all goes well for the Blues, and of course their recruitment has been brilliant. You know, Anton Sager, that's a good buy. Watch this kid, AJ.
Oh yeah, no, they've done their homework. But hey, it's like anything, it all looks good on paper, but you don't find out until they take the field for their first match. Then we'll see how the world have been training and progressed in the off season.
And of course, just a bit of an update on the health situation for me, AJ, and I know my doctor is listening. I went on the scales yesterday, and unbelievably, I am down 10 kgs, over 10 kgs.
Wow.
I haven't got any taller, just to let you know that.
That is unbelievable. I mean, I'm not taking the proverbial out of you, but well done, mate. Pat yourself on the back, and that is the great news and results. I'm just standing on my scales at work here, and one of my colleagues is looking at me with a smile, and yeah, I think I've maybe put on a kilo, mate. I'll take it, mate.
I'll tell you what, AJ, and hopefully we get a bit of parade and we come on the 1st of December. I know that I'll be, hospitality will need my service to help them out of business and then by Cuba. But as per usual, AJ, it's always great having a chat, and we'll catch up again next Monday.
Okay, bud, you take it easy, and well done on the week.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks a lot, AJ. Well, that's AJ. Usually I get a bit of credit from AJ, so I'm going to head to a bit of music. I'm going to talk a bit of EPL. I tell you what, if you're a West Ham supporter, it's looking good for you, fellas. Anyway, we'll just head to a bit of music right now.
And there's a thousand parts to play, street life, until you play your life away. You let those people see just who you want to be, and every night you shine just like a superstar. Have a life displayed, a 10-foot masquerade. You dress, you walk, you talk, you're who you think you are. Street life, you can run away from time.
And of course, I tell you something, the EPL is really hot enough. And if you did see the result this morning, wow, what a game. West Ham 3, Liverpool 2. And here to talk to us about the EPL results, and sadly, we do have to speak about Manchester United, is former All White, Noel Barkley. And Noel, a very, very good afternoon to you from the lovely island of Waiheke. How are you, Noel?
I'm very well, actually. I'm just trying to skip at the minute. I'm on a bus and then I'm on a ferry, and coming back into Auckland to see what's happening. I love the football on the weekend. I hate international breaks because it's a couple of weeks without anything meaningful. But some great games. Not Man United, Man City, that's for sure. And that was pretty embarrassing if you're a Man United fan. Probably worse than the Liverpool game, because I think I saw that City had close to 900 passes, which is basically owning the ball, and we were terrible. We were just awful. So that was rather debilitating start to the weekend.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Noel. And, you know, like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I'm sorry, but I think the experiment hasn't worked. They have to find someone very, very quickly, and they have to find a quality manager, because the goals are they're not going to win the Premier League. It's over. There's not a chance in hell. Concentrate on Europe. Concentrate on trying to win the FA Cup, and that's where I think they should be heading. But just getting back to you on West Ham Liverpool. Now, if you're a West Ham supporter, as you know, we know a few maniac West Ham supporters personally. One who works on another radio station. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You would actually put them now down as genuine contenders to win the Premier League, no?
Well, I'm not so sure I'd go that far, because Miles would probably get a little bit too excited about that. But fair to say that we actually touched on it last week, and it was clear that they were a real opportunity for a European spot, and they proved that again today. Whether they've got enough staying power to overhaul Chelsea and Man City, not so sure, but honestly, the way they're going at the minute, you wouldn't bet against it. Them sitting in third, and hard to see any of the chasing pack really sort of having any consistency to get there. I mean, they're just really solid. They're winning in Europe. I don't know how Man United beat them away, but they just look invincible and pretty exciting up top.
They're certainly doing. You know, David Moyes has had he's had his critics, but, you know, he's proven what we've all really known about him. He actually is a good manager. Just some of the other results. Chelsea won, Burnley won, a bit of a surprise there. So, and that's pretty good for Burnley, because they're still in the bottom three. But to me, you know, I think that bottom three is going to close up very, very soon, Noel.
Yeah, but look, I mean, the Burnley game, I was just talking to a friend of mine who's a Chelsea fan, and he was just absolutely distraught. I mean, it was probably the most one-sided game Chelsea have had this year, and sucker punch right at the end with a goal against their own play, missed a ton of chances, and probably, you know, the best thing that could ever happen for Burnley. Woodsy made his 400th appearance in English football on the weekend, so that was a bit of a milestone for him. He did get dragged later on in that game, probably because he needed fresh legs. But yeah, an amazing result, and you know, with the amount of players that Chelsea had on the go, it's hard to believe that they can't beat Burnley.
Yeah, that was quite an unbelievable result. Some of the other results: Crystal Palace 2, Wolves 0, and Norwich got their first win of the EPL season, 2-1 over Brentford. Brighton 1, hapless Newcastle 1. Of course, the Newcastle United, Noel, they're still trying to line up Eddie Howe, but they're still having a few issues there, because I went to call him Dick Emery, but Emery turned him down. And of course, Arsenal, I'm going to say this right now, Noel, you know, they are pushing that top four, had a 1-0 win over Watford.
Yeah, and missed a penalty, missed a couple of good chances, saw the highlights of that game, and they looked very comfortable winners. Interesting that Norwich decided to sack their manager after he had his first win away from home against Brentford. So he's now the fifth manager to get fired this year. So you got to sort of think the days are numbered for Ollie. He's not performing, team's not performing, they spent the money, and he's looking a casualty. Great to see Palace win, because they actually look really good. Anywhere from Leicester and 12th up to you know, that fifth position, it looks like it's a bit of a horse race to try and get that fourth spot.
It certainly is, and of course Leeds had a one-all draw with Leicester. Really, you know, Leicester still waiting to fire, and of course the rumours going round is that Guardiola is going to be leaving Manchester City at the end of the season, and Manchester City are going to line up. Now, this is purely speculation, Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, Brendan seems quite happy at Leicester. I mean, he sort of, you know, looks, I think if Man United went for anybody, he's probably the most logical one. I think that, you know, Conte's obviously gone now, and he's going to have to suck it up at Spurs for a couple of years. Yeah, look, the one I heard on the weekend was an interesting one, and that was Roberto Mancini, who most Man United fans would probably remember well, 2014. So, yeah, look, who knows, he's a proven winner, and right now that doesn't sound like a bad deal for me.
I would like to see him edge. That actually is a good buy. And, of course, Everton 0, Spurs 0. Apparently the highlight of the game was the final whistle. So, by the sounds of it, was a shocking game.
Yeah, I think the highlight was that a bad tackle at the end where the guy got sent off. He just followed through and just about decapitated one of the Spurs players. But two struggling teams, bit of a draw, so that's probably about the right result for them.
It certainly is, and of course, now we head into the international breaks, and there'll be a lot of interest in some of these World Cup qualifiers. And of course, you know, New Zealand will be playing Gambia in a friendly match in the UAE, and of course, they picked up quite a good squad again. It's good to see Suffrage Singh is just playing brilliantly in Bundes too, and you know, but no Ryan Thomas. He's still trying to concentrate and trying to cement his place in that PSV Eindhoven team. But, you know, really, it's actually a good side. Recalls for Elliot Collier as well, too. So, you know, and Francis De Beers, who plays in the Swedish second tier, has been also been given an opportunity to be part of this window.
Yeah, and I think that separate single, if you haven't seen it, you'll find it an absolute curler from a very left-footed player. Scores, bends one in from about 30 yards with his right foot. Thomas, yeah, I think he's injured from what I'm hearing. And also, the word is that the All Whites are going to have a second game, which is going to be a pretty exciting opponent. So, I'm just waiting for that.
Ooh. We can talk off air, Mr. Barkley. And then whatever you say to me, I'll keep in secret. I might add it on Facebook. Only joking, no. But apart from that, it's been a fantastic weekend of sports. And I want to tell you what, we're really into summer now. When are you heading back to the office? Or are you going to be on the island for a bit more longer? Are you?
Might be a few days in the city. Got some work to do there.
Well, hopefully, once we get a bit of freedom, I definitely have to catch up with you and buy you a number of pints of Kilkenny, because I know that's one of your favourite drinks.
Sounds good, my friend.
Okay, thanks a lot, Noel, and have a great rest of the week. Well, that was the EPL wrap with Noel Barkley. So next up, we're hoping to get a former Black Cap on the line. He did commit to the show on Friday. We're going to talk about the Black Caps. They're in the semi-final of the ACC 2020 World Cup. So we're just going to hit a bit of music, and hopefully we've got a guest on the other side. Now because you wear all those fancy clothes, yes, you do now. Do you think I can afford to give you my love? Oh, you yeah. Think you're higher than every star above. Mr. the big stuff. Who do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff? You're never gonna get my love. Many poor girls cry when they try to keep you happy. They just try to keep you satisfied. It's the big stuff. Tell me, who do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff? You're never gonna get my love. Be fooled around and get hurt by you. 'Cause when I give my love, I want love in return. Oh, yeah. Now I know this is a lesson, Mr. Big Stuff, you haven't learned. Mr. Big Stuff, tell me, who do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff? You're never gonna get my love, Mr. Big Stuff. You're never gonna break my heart. Gonna make me cry, Mr. Big Stuff. Tell me, just welcome everyone back to the Whispering Sports Review here on Planet FM. And I have to say, and love it, cracking day. And if you've been watching the 2020 World Cup like I have, I've been absolutely enjoying it. And I've got a former Black Cap here, and he's also the coach of the Otago Sparks women's cricket team. Former Black Cap, Craig Cummings. Good afternoon to you, Craig. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, man. Good. Well, we're in the semi-finals of the 2020 Cricket World Cup. There has been a lot of things that have been good about the Black Caps. It's got to be the bowling display of Trent Bolt and Tim Southee and Ish Sodhi, as well as, you know, like the batting display. Martin Guptill has been very solid. The experiment of putting Daryl Mitchell to the top has actually been quite successful. And, of course, Kane's coming into a bit of a form. It was great this morning to see Devin Conway get a little bit of a score on the go. But, you know, looking at it, Craig, we've got England who have really been, them and Pakistan have been the form team. But, you know, the way I'm looking at it here, you know, I feel that the Black Caps really, while they've played well, I don't believe they've played that perfect performance yet.
No, you're right. You're taking away what I was going to say. I mean, you don't make the semi-finals of any event, and especially an ICC event, without playing well. And this Black Cap side is, you know, with two pools and only two going through. And when you're in a pool with India and Pakistan, you're going to have to play well. And obviously with Afghanistan, playing them, it was always going to be a tough encounter. They got some form players. The T20 suits them. So they were able to negotiate them brilliantly last night. And you've got to have players in form to be able to do it. We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, in some ways, we act like we are surprised when they make a semi-final. The last T20 World Cup, we made the semi-finals in India. I was over there commentating when we had to play England, actually, who knocked us out, I think, from memory. But, you know, this Black Cap side, they get to the finals. They do it on a regular occurrence, probably more so than anyone else of late, especially when you throw in the Test Championship. But you've got to have form players. You've got to have players playing well. They obviously do a lot of work in the background with the preparation. Their bowling attack is beautifully balanced. There's not one bowler who does the same as the other. And at the moment, the batting order, yeah, like we said, Mitchell was a surprise, but he's worked. I feel very safe with Williamson and then Conway being together in the middle order. And so at the moment, yeah, they're doing everything right.
Yeah, I think the big thing is about it is, while everyone's been, you know, saying that England and Pakistan, I'm actually looking at this draw. I'm actually, with taking them off my New Zealand iPad, but looking at my cricketing eyes, I believe that New Zealand has a great chance to win this tournament, Craig. And the reason I say that is because I believe that the balance of the side is very, very good. And while we had that loss to Pakistan at the beginning, we've looked dominating through this tournament. And I also believe if we were to make the final, I don't believe we'd be playing Pakistan. I believe Australia are actually coming into a bit of form with Warner and Finch really batting brilliantly at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. For some reason, I think Australia are going to beat Pakistan. I'm not sure why. It's really hard in this format to be unbeaten all the way through. And now Pakistan have to do that. Sometimes you need to lose a game to be able to keep yourself going. But for this New Zealand side, yeah, I mean, I don't look any further than the semi-final, because you've got to win that first and foremost. Can we beat England? Absolutely. England have played brilliantly well, but they've had one or two players who've dominated. I think this New Zealand side, the balance, as you've mentioned, is very good. And in T20, it just takes one player, which is really important. And that's the way, you know, England have set up with Josh Butler and others do it. But to me, this New Zealand side's a little bit of the Moneyball theory. They are the sum of all parts. So from 1 to 11, or you could say 1 to 13 if they had to make changes, they sum up to a very good performance. And key will be, can we score enough runs to be able to beat England? Because we know that they can score 180, 190. Can our batting order actually get us 180, 190 where we're batting first, or whether we're batting second? We'd probably back our bowlers to defend it. We'd also back our bowlers not to give away that many runs, but you've got to be prepared for it. But this, as I said, and I've said it many times, you know, this Black Cap side doesn't get overruled by semi-finals or by pressure. They actually seem to embrace it, and they enjoy the competition that comes within the competition, and are very, very level. They're very, very calm. and they just they look like they enjoy playing cricket. They look like they enjoy getting to these opportunities. And you know, part of the battle when you get to semi-finals or finals is you fear Farthy or you fear the consequence. This New Zealand side doesn't seem to do that at the moment. They just embrace the challenges in front of them. They did it again against Afghanistan, who had moments, but overall they outplayed them. So, yeah, they're a good side.
They certainly are, Craig. And, you know, you being a former black cap, it gives you a sense of pride. And looking at New Zealand cricket, you know, I believe, you know, a revolution which really started under that Hessam McCullum captaincy and then has gone on and it's gone that little bit further with the Gary Stead, Kane Williamson partnerships. You know, there is a lot to like about New Zealand cricket at the moment. And, you know, to me, even if we were to, you know, win another, I know we're not going to look ahead because England will be tough, but for us to actually be in and say another ICC final, it has proven that New Zealand, where you've had the big three of England, India and Australia, was that we're actually part of that big three now. And we're now seeing where places like India are saying, we want the Black Caps here for three tests. We want them here for a 2020 series.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's only one team that's been in all three semi-finals in the three formats of the game in the last 4 years, and there's only one team potentially that's played in two finals and potentially three, and that's us. So you'd have to say we are at the moment the most consistent all-round team in all formats. So, you know, I don't like when we say we bat above our weight, because that's a little bit old age, but we certainly do bat above the resources that we have compared to other nations. And I'd say that's, you know, when it comes to probably the level of investment that goes into our game compared to, you know, the big three in India, England and Australia and probably South Africa. So, you know, those things. But you can't discount the fact that we're producing skilled cricketers. So something's going very, very well here in New Zealand. Whether it's, you know, your first-class cricket and things are going well there and our own Super Smash. And but then clearly the environment, when they get to the Black Caps level, is right, because players turn up there and they seem to perform, and that's got to be a good thing, and that's the work that Gary Stead needs to be acknowledged for, and also Kane Williamson. Yes, it's carrying on from Mike Hessam, Brendan McCullum. So one of the challenges used to be when you got to that next level was it was a tough to probably understand what you're doing, and the environment was a challenge at times, but they've clearly got it right, and the results show that. And we've also got some very good cricketers as well, which makes a big difference.
I think from my time watching, you know, like even going back to say when we had a golden period in the 80s, 90s and parts of the 2000s, I believe that it's actually harder to make this Black Caps lineup now than it was, say, it was now. It is because the players we have world-class players. And, you know, you're not only your Williamsons, your Bolts, your Sowbys, players like that, but you do have your players like your Conways coming through. You do have this good glut of young cricketers coming through. Just on another thing, Craig, how are the Sparks looking for the season, mate?
Yeah, really good. Yeah, no, we've had a good preparation. We work really hard, like every team does in our pre-season. We tried to use a lot of the lessons that we learned last year, and that includes me as a coach, to set up what we're trying to do. The players, it's very much about them and them leading trainings, and I try and facilitate, I suppose, learning and them. But they've got a great culture. We went to Nelson, which was great last weekend, it was, and picked up two wins, but it was more, I don't think you'd always judge success on whether you win or lose, because sometimes the difference can be one or two players. But I was delighted with a lot of the markers that we've got, which we need to use to be able to have success. We're able to tick off, and we're able to do that weekend, and we've got to do it again this weekend. A slight change. We're meant to play the Brave, but because of lockdown, they aren't going to be playing, and we play CD again this weekend coming up. So you're keen to, I suppose, carry on the momentum that we did in the areas, and the girls enjoying playing cricket and continuing to learn and continue to get better.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. Of course, it's an important year for women's cricket next year with the ICC Women's World Cup coming up. And, of course, you know, we're hoping that the crowds really get there. And, of course, living here in Auckland, we're really hoping that we can get the crowd to Eden Park to watch some of those double headers. Great.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, as we know, and again, it's probably not telling you in Auckland because it doesn't feel like things have probably changed much. I think, was it 13 weeks I've heard that you've been in lockdown? You know, I'm down in Dunedin and, you know, we had sort of 3 weeks, but then I've been able to go to work and play sport and we've been able to do mostly everything. We certainly feel for the Aucklanders and the situation we're in. Our country needs to move forward and we need to accept where we're going to be going, and we've just got to basically follow the rest of the world now. And we've got a bit of time until the Cricket World Cup, so surely we'll be open for business when it comes to being able to host that well. We'll be able to get crowds in. Yes, we're going to have COVID. We've just got to learn to deal with that. But we want to have a really successful event. It makes a difference having people at venues, and it'll make a difference to the World Cup. So there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, so to speak. But I think I'm really looking forward to that. Our White Ferns need to keep working hard. They need to keep getting better, because at the moment they're probably ranked fourth or fifth when it comes to that tournament, based on performances. But as you'll see, even domestically, we had Katie Martin get 100. We had Hayley Jensen bowling really well. Amy Satterthwaite did well on the weekend for the Magicians against the Blaze. And then you've got Mehdi Kerr, who missed out on that England tour. She picked up 5 wickets in each inning. So they're always going to dominate at the domestic level, but we need them to hopefully build their confidence and be able to take that into the World Cup squad and then into the World Cup.
Absolutely, Craig. Well, I have to say thanks for appearing on the show today, and it's always great having a bit of a chat to you. Even though you're a proud Otago person from Timaru, and I have to say you're not from St Andrews, so we won't go there. But I have to say, well, thanks for helping me out today, and I hope that you have a great rest of the week, and good luck for the Sparks for the rest of their season, Craig.
I just got to say, let's get a disclaimer. You offended me last Friday by calling me a St Andrews boy, didn't you, from Christchurch, when I had to really sort of correct you and tell you I'm from Timaru and I'm a Timaru's boy.
I apologise, Mr Cummings, and hopefully that doesn't spoil our working relationship moving down the future. But, Craig, all the best and luck for the Sparks upcoming season. Hope to hear you on the radio. I hope to hear your commentaries during the ICC Women's World Cup as well. So have a great day, Craig.
Thanks, mate. No problems at all.
Cheers. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was great. Craig Cummings here, from really one of the real good analysts of our game in New Zealand. Well, next up, me, myself and Mr Watson are going to have a wee chat, and we'll just play a bit of music. No, I don't know. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM, and it's always this is the time of the moment we have our sport and opinion, and it's always great to have this guy on here because we're doing a week on week off roster. The man, the legend, and he is the hopeless romantic, Mr. Mark Watson. Mark, how the hell are you today, mate?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Just enjoyed a bit of a jog around the Murawai neighbourhood. I've got to say, I'm not quite as fit as I once was, and yeah, it's starting to get a bit ugly as I get older.
Oh, geez, Mark, you've seen my face on Facebook, and believe me, you're definitely not ugly until you see me. Then that is definitely ugly. But we might as well start the discussion. the thing that caught my mind during the week was this backflip from Ty Webster, who was a New Zealand Breakers player who refused to get vaccinated. Now, before anyone says I'm not having a crack at anti-vaxxers, but or I'm not pro-vaccination, I'm just putting it out there. And basically, because it was mandated by the Australian Basketball League, New Zealand Breakers had no choice but to sack him. All of a sudden, he's had a change of heart because he's going to be playing in Lithuania in the Euro Basketball League, which is the biggest pro league outside the NBA. And, you know, it's good that he's got it done, but, you know, as a Breakers fan, you know, you've got to feel a bit of disappointment and a bit of peace. And also, you know, people making the stance of refusing to get it, their options are getting less and less, Mark.
Yeah, look, I think Ty Webster, it's an interesting one, isn't it? You wonder how deliberate this was to try and almost get himself out of the contract that he was in. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Look, I've got no... Again, I'm not here to, like you, tell people they should get vaccinated, not get vaccinated, but I think if you're true to your cause, you're true to it no matter what. And then I think you've got these other people who tend to find it maybe perhaps a little bit fashionable as well, or just simply don't like authoritarian rule. I think Ty Webster, for a long time, he's only ever seems to be but a distraction. More often than not, he seems to find himself in the media for all the wrong reasons. So, look, I think you've got to almost go back to the sort of no dickheads policy that has been employed by a number of sort of New Zealand sports teams. I know talking with Darren Shand, the All Black manager, some years back, he said that when they were picking a squad of, say, 34 to go to the World Cup or whatever it was to go to Europe, they looked at it and said, look, how many guys have we got in here which we deem to be sort of, let's use the word, troublesome? And they said, look, we've got four. Okay, we need to reduce it to two. And they felt that they could sort of handle that within the mix. So, look, disappointing from Ty Webster. It's tough enough, isn't it, anyway, for the likes of the Breakers having to play pretty much their entire season in Australia at the moment and then have to sort of deal with these issues, just trying to make sure they can get the players on the roster and get some sort of continuity. Look, I do wish them all the best. And, as for Ty Webster, well, you know, if he's going to go through life like this, well, you know, when it's all said and done, he's probably going to have to be a little bit careful, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think from what we are saying is that those that are deciding to have the stance, you know, like the NRL are having the same issues with them. I know the Melbourne Storm are having the same issues with Nelson Solomona Apoa at the Storm, who's refusing to do that. And a number of players where basically... Within, and as we know, within New Zealand sport as well too, when it comes to it, there's been contracts made with professional players saying, no, if you want to be part of this organisation, you have to do that, and it's just a fact of life now, Mark.
Yeah, look, it is an interesting one because I understand both sides of the argument. I don't think anybody should be mandated. Like, oh, I've been vaccinated. I had two. I didn't have to have them before I went to the Olympics, but I just decided to go and get them done, and everyone I know sort of had them. Mandating people, forcing people to do it? Yeah, look, like I say, I admire those people that genuinely take that stance and are prepared to give up a lot of financial, give up a lot of financial dollars and stuff in the name of what they believe in. Well done. I think in the case of Ty Webster, I'll keep coming back to it, you know, professionalism is a state of mind, and it's something that I don't think he truly understands. So... tough times for a lot of our sportsmen, but I don't have a lot of empathy or a lot of sympathy for Webster, just based on maybe his track record with sort of off-court behaviour as well.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that, Mark. Well, some of the Kiwis around the sporting world, it's been quite a fantastic 24 hours. It has been, of course. We speak about Lydia Ko had a win on the LPGA, and of course, Stephen Elker had his maiden win this morning on the PGA, which is fantastic for him. And, of course, Michael Venus and his doubles partner had a big win in the Paris Masters. So, you know, some of the thoughts on that. Isn't this good stuff coming from, you know, different sports people, not our usual talk about rugby, cricket, soccer? Isn't this good to hear?
Yeah, look, I think it's always been there. I think the media have just always been guilty of their definition of sport being far too narrow and probably not giving some of these sports people the recognition they deserve. You sort of sense with Lydia Ko in this year that she's probably close to being her very, very best again. She still, at times this year, has just lacked a little consistency, hasn't she, over those four rounds. But what this win, big win in Saudi Arabia, and you wonder whether now she is truly taking control of her career, that she's, you know, matured, that she is an adult in her own right. And maybe, just maybe, because you talk to people in golf circles and they will say that maybe the parents in the background, with all the best intentions, have been somewhat detrimental to her career. So well done. Yes, Stephen Alker, I mean, this sort of seniors tour that they can play on now, beating Jim Furyk. I think I was read somewhere that he's played 8 tournaments this year and he's already won $1.2 million US. So well done to him as well. And it is great when they're playing in Florida and you hear the name New Zealand. And then Michael Venus, well, what a star he is. I mean, he's really established himself, hasn't he? Olympic Games bronze medal this year. You know, now number 15 in the world in doubles. And you think about how many people play tennis globally and you put 15 people in a room, okay, admittedly in a doubles format, it is a remarkable achievement. And maybe that is the pathway New Zealand tennis players need to take. Maybe it is unrealistic for us, particularly on the men's side, to say, hey, we can have individual guys. But, hey, there is a pathway here in doubles. You can make a good living. It is a good point of view. I'm not sure that doubles is what it once used to be. You don't tend to get the big players or the number one singles players playing doubles anymore, unlike the days of John McEnroe when, you know, they doubled up a lot. They won the singles. They then went on and won the doubles as well. But, no, you know, when you do look at the depth of tennis globally, it is arguably one of the hardest sports. It's great that a New Zealander in Michael Venus is having such success.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not only the bronze medalist, he's won a Grand Slam doubles title at the French Open, he's been at Wimbledon as well too, he's been in the finals there. You know, if this is the future for New Zealand tennis, and you know my opinion is that we need to get 100, I cannot see us getting a top 100 player within the next 10 years, it's just the way it is, but it's great that he's flying the flag also, Marcus Daniel as well too. They're both flying the flag for New Zealand, and I think this Paris Masters, this is a big tournament, mate.
Yeah, oh, look, to give you an idea, you know, Djokovic won the singles, so that just shows you how big it is. Also, it's a, you know, clearly France, home of the French Open and Roland Garros. It's also home of the Olympic Games in 3 years' time, so I think there's a lot of positives coming out of it. You know, we talked about Cameron Norrie a couple of weeks ago, the New Zealander who ended up in the UK and shifting allegiances, and you know, he's now ranked just inside the top 20 in the world. And so, you know, tennis, we can do it in this country, but clearly it's about development here for a certain period of your career, and then really it's about trying to establish some sort of pathway or some sort of system in Europe to get them to that next level. And how that looks, I'm not quite sure, but what I'd be doing is taking the pathway that Michael Venus, documenting it, and then passing it on to young tennis players, saying, hey, this is what Michael Venus did. He can do it, you can do it. And, you know, it's a Cameron Norrie situation. You go, well, look, he went to the UK. Yep, he got indoctrinated into a British system. We don't really want everybody representing Great Britain, but, hey, can we partner up with British tennis? Can we somehow tap into their systems? So look, I think there's some really good things that New Zealand tennis can use at the moment to continue to develop the future. And sometimes you can go searching for a template, you can go and talk to sports scientists, and you can go and talk to a whole lot of different coaches, everybody's got an opinion. And then you get these athletes, you get these players out there that find a way. And sometimes it's just a simple case of saying, hey, just give us the pathway. Show us how you dealt with the tough times. Show us what you did off the back of the tough times. How did you enjoy the good times? What level were you playing at when you were 18? How many countries had you travelled to by the time you were 23? And sort of, and just follow it.
Absolutely, Mark. Well, we might as well talk a bit else. I did actually this morning when I got up fairly early, I actually saw the highlights of the Canelo Alvarez. Now, this guy, this boxer, outside of Tyson Fury, he is the biggest name. Mate, this guy is an absolute machine.
Yeah, look, I think boxing's actually in a good place. It's always been personality-driven, hasn't it? And they tend to have this word pound for pound, don't they? It'd be interesting if you could, size-wise, find economies of scale and get Alvarez and Fury together, same size, and see who end up winning. Seems to be...
Yeah, I have to say, correct. Yeah, I was just going to say, radio, you know, he's actually, I enjoy watching him because he's just a fantastic boxer. And he, but we might as well talk about something I was trying to avoid, because being a Manchester United fan, it's not good in the EPL. And of course, your mob, you probably have got a text from some of your mad West Ham supporters giving you a bit of grief. It's been a big Liverpool supporter, Mark.
A little nervous about the West Ham game. I felt that under David Moyes, they've been playing really well. They're genuine contenders. You know, they're not a... Often you see in the English Premier League sides start, lesser sides, I guess, start the season quite well, and you see sort of a team that you don't expect inside the top six, but by the time the end of the season's gone, they're sort of middle of the pack. That's not the case with West Ham. Very good season last year as well. Look, probably not Liverpool's best performance. That's two draws in a row, and a loss and a draw in the English Premier League. They're not going to win the title doing that. You know, Manchester City winning, Chelsea the draw. There was another opportunity to pull back some points on Chelsea. Managed to do it. But I guess with Manchester United, how long do they stick with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? He clearly doesn't have the technical nous that some of these other coaches have. He's certainly got a squad. How long do the Manchester faithful continue supporting one of their greatest in terms of a player who played in the wonderful era? Just because you're a great player, it doesn't necessarily make you a great manager. But I guess that's what makes the English Premier League so exciting, is that any team, any week, can take their chance. Try and just stay in the middle of the pack, try and win an FA Cup, try and win some of these other midweek competitions, and more importantly, for a lot of teams, just simply try and avoid relegation.
Certainly is, and of course, just some of the, when we were speaking earlier to former White Noel Barkley, he said the new rumour coming out to replace Solskjaer will be Mancini, the former Manchester City manager and the Italy national team manager. So that's huge. And that could be a huge signing, and I'm giving that within the next week or so. I believe Solskjaer will be shown the door.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two types of managers, isn't there? Those that have been sacked and those that are about to be sacked. And, you know, you've got Guardiola, you've got Klopp, who have probably taken the managerial side of things to another level. Manchester United, as I said, on paper, man, it's a hell of a side, but they're just playing as individuals. We've just seen, you know, Spurs, they've made a change to their manager. I see Norwich also sacked their manager overnight. It's almost, if you want to retain your job, pick up a team like a Southampton, pick up a team like an Everton or West Ham. Don't finish last. You're not expected to finish top, and you'll probably keep your job.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. Well, I have to say, you know, just looking forward to 2022 as we do, and of course it's a big year for, because as you know, Mark, our radio station is based within the Mount Albert area, and we look at one of the good colleges within there is Mount Albert Grammar, and you know what they've contributed to the sporting landscape in New Zealand has been brilliant, and of course, you know, You'll be part of helping get the centenary underway, and I know it's been very challenging times for you, Mark, with all these lockdowns, trying to get things ahead. Hello? Hello? Okay, we seem to have lost Mark Watson.
Sorry,
there.
Sorry, there, Eamon. Have you got me there, mate?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, mate. I was just mentioning about the next year's Mount Albert Grammar Centenary. You know, obviously challenging times ahead, but, you know, Mount Albert have really, 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 really added to, you know, the sporting landscape in our country.
Yeah, no, big year next year for Mount Albert Grammar, established in 1922. Had a lot of famous old boys come out of it, arguably the most famous, Sir Peter Snell. Great running coaches, Arthur Lydiard, former Auckland Mayor Les Mills, former Prime Minister Sir Robert Muldoon. You know, we've got Portia Woodman out of the women's side in more recent times, and then, well, the list of All Blacks is endless, with the likes of Sir Brian Williams, Joe Stanley, Olo Max Brown, so many sort of wonderful footballers over the years that represented New Zealand at all whites level. At hockey, like a lot of the big schools, I guess, around the country, if you really dig deep, you can find some remarkable stories, and not just on the sports field as well. So, you know, really looking forward to being part of those centenary celebrations. In 2022, we are naming teams of the century in rugby, rugby league. I'll just say this, our first 15 has six All Blacks on the bench, and our rugby league side, well, I don't think there'd be a New Zealand secondary school in the country that would touch it. You had a point that man up at Grammar where you had Steve Mattai, Sonny Bill Williams, Sam McKendry, Sam Cassiano, and young Thomas Luluai, Sonny Bill Williams, all at school within 2 years of each other, and that's just one little small era. Then you throw in the likes of the Arcoys and the Acklands and the rest of it, and as I said, it's one hell of a greatest 13 that's going to be picked.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, Mark, I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully next year we can have a special on Mount Albert Grammar because it's part of our community. Mark, I want to thank you for coming on air and having a chat, and of course we'll catch up in a week or so's time, Mark. Great chatting to you, and have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, mate. Cheers, bud.
Okay, that was Mark Watson. That's us done for today. I have to say it's been a really good show. Hope everyone enjoys the rest of the week, and we'll catch you next week.